This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Show and the Bulldog.
How many bees is a swarm? Is two a swarm or three? Whatever. How many does it have to be?
And I feel like seven.
It's Mike Shope.
How many times do you have to be stung to have been swarmed? And I was like, dude, I got swarmed. I got stung only once, but I was swarmed.
And the Bulldog.
You insist you were swarmed.
There were bees, man. Like plural. Big, lots of S's. Lots of E's and S. Bees. that was not
bees.
Fun.
Bees.
Right. That was not fun.
On WGR.
Hey, man, that kind of hurt.
Sports Radio 550.
I like introducing Mark Schofield almost as much as I like talking to him. Mark Schofield, SB Nation, it is getting yachty. I'm going to say it every time until you tell me to stop. This is a man who does not need to have explained to him who Gino Vannelli is. Mark Schofield, SB Nation. At least I'm assuming that, Mark. Am I giving you too much credit?
You are not giving me too much credit, my friend. And it is always great to be with you. It's always great to get the introductions. And it's just always great to talk with you guys. How are you guys
doing? Yes, thank you, Mark.
we're doing okay. You know, shaking off the disappointment, I guess.
Right, we're in off-season mode over here.
Yeah,
I mean, hey, as a Patriots fan, I've been in off-season mode since roughly around Thanksgiving. So welcome aboard. It's fun in off-season mode sometimes.
It can be. It seems like this Bills offseason will be, I don't know, they're all interesting, I guess, but, you know, how much is there to fix, Mark? Last year, the takeaway seemed to be, well, they're great, they just lost. This year, is it the same thing?
I mean, I think it's similar. I certainly think that there are areas that this roster can address this offseason. You know, making sure you have the offensive line set, the best five in front of Josh Allen is certainly up there. I do think at some point add in a receiver across from Stephon Diggs. You know, it's not the best free agency class. It's an interesting draft class at receiver, but there might be a lot of sort of receiver two options in this draft, even early in this draft, that I think would make a lot of sense for Buffalo. You know, nibbling around the edges at some other positions, adding depth, things like that are probably on the table for this organization. But I don't think there's a lot that needs to be fixed. I think a healthy Josh Allen, you know, for the entire season, you know, might be the biggest thing that this team needs going forward, because I do think that the elbow injury certainly played a role down the stretch. He's still a fantastic quarterback, but, you know, even a little bit of a loss of velocity here and there sometimes makes a difference. And I think you did see that particularly in the game against Cincinnati, but it's not a situation where there's lots that needs to be done. They're still in a very good position. The toughest thing ahead of them might just be the fact that the AFC is good. The AFC is deep. You know, we're seeing, and as we sort of got with the news today, you know, the balance of power has shifted now to the AFC, and it's going to be a tough conference to compete in over the next couple of years as a result.
Yeah, they don't. I agree they don't have a long list. You really hit it. Like the line and a receiver, you know, or a receiver in the line, however you want to prioritize it. The bigger question might be, Mark, like where do they find the money to address those needs when we're looking at Poyer, a free agent, Edmonds, a free agent. There are others, but those are the two that are, you know, in no particular order, impactful, important players to that defense that both on the open market. I mean, Poyer's 32, so that could temper what he finds on the open market. I think it's the main reason the Bills didn't do something with him last offseason or even during this season. But Edmonds is 25, and he matters a lot in the middle there. And he could be looking at a huge contract, and I don't know where they're going to find the money.
Yeah, I mean, obviously that's a big question, even with the increase in the salary cap, the bump we're seeing to next year, $225 million, mm-hmm. They're still projected, you know, going to be over it right now. I mean, I think there are some things that they can do. I mean, you could do sort of an Allen restructure.
Sure.
You could do, you know, Stephon Diggs restructure. There are ways they can move some money around, but there might be some difficult decisions. The Poyer one's interesting because for years, look, you know, Hyde and Poyer, perhaps the best safety tandem in the NFL. It's hard to, you know, imagine breaking that up. You know, maybe because, like you said, of his age there, it might temper what he gets on the market. The Edmonds one is certainly interesting. You know, perhaps if they can sort of do some financial things going into the offseason to put themselves in a better position financially, they'll be able to get a deal with him done. But I think those are the two ones that jump out. This has been a smart organization financially. You know, Brandon Bean has done a very good job over the years, and I'm sure that looking at it right now, he's going to find a way to get things done, and it might start with his quarterback.
One thing, and you've already discussed it here with us, Mark, that seems evident on the heels of this season, in particular the loss to the Bengals, is that a lot of draft capital being spent on edge rushers and the defensive line overall didn't really accomplish for them in the end what they meant for it to. I mean, there are good players and they've had good moments, but like they drafted that position after losing to the Chiefs in the playoffs 2 years ago, and this season ends with a loss against the Bengals team where Joe Burrow really was kind of just free and easy to do what he wanted in the pocket. Then the next week, he goes to Kansas City, and they're all over him. So, I don't know. I feel like maybe it's fair to sort of scrutinize that and at least hope that, I mean, at least if you're me, hope that they don't do more of the same in the draft.
Right. I think that's a very fair take. And what's interesting about the difference between the Bengals in the divisional round and then the AFC Championship game is in both games, Burrow got the ball out quickly. You know, he got the ball out quickly in both games, but in one game he was under pressure a lot, you know, by the Kansas City Chiefs, and Chris Jones gets his postseason sacks. And the other one, it seemed like Buffalo couldn't really get any pressure on him. And like you said, he was free and easy back there. It was like being on the yacht with the music playing. He had all the time in the world in the pocket. And so, you know, do you wonder, okay, is this a Buffalo problem? Is this something they need to address? Was it the weather? You know, a lot of people sometimes say, look, playing in the snow is a quarterback's best friend because a pass rush can't get home. Maybe there is something of that to be said. Is it a window to maybe at some point in this draft addressing the position again? You know, it's certainly something to consider because, like you said, they put a lot into pass rushers. And, you know, look, a healthy Von Miller, maybe that would have been the difference. You know, that could have played a huge role as well. But getting consistent pressure up front, I think, is something that this organization is going to need to think about in this offseason and headed into next year.
With Mark Schofield, SB Nation, any thoughts on Allen at this point of his career, Mark? I mean, I'm definitely not a QB wins guy. But you do look at the board now and see Mahomes in a third Super Bowl already and Burrow to two championship games, and they've both been successful against Allen and the Bills in the playoffs. Man, 10 points in that last game. I want to be careful not to make just all the excuses for him throughout the offseason with, oh, the pass protection and running game and wide receiver depth. Or even Stephon Diggs, for that matter. I mean, the season ends and Diggs is throwing a tantrum on the sideline about not getting the ball. So where do you stand on Allen here as he now shoots up in terms of salary out of his rookie deal?
Right, and this is going to be – this is always sort of a pivotal point in young quarterback contract world, right? If they're out of the rookie deal, now it's into the second contract. They've shown that the team can win and they can be successful with them on that rookie deal, but now is where you expect them to be in that position to, what's the phrase, elevate the team around them or raise the level of play and things like that. I firmly believe that Josh Allen is capable of that. You know, I have watching his development from where he was at Wyoming and, you know, the way he's developed into the National Football League, the way he made people look like me, you know, look like idiots with the way he's developed has been extremely impressive. I think there was a lot going on with this team. I mean, I think this entire Bills season needs a lot of context with, you know, coming off of the 13 seconds game, you know, last season, you know, with the injury to Allen, with everything that has happened around this organization this season. I think it's fair to put it all that context together and say, you know, that this was a team that had high expectations. They didn't quite come together, but it's still an extremely talented team. But we just sort of went through the list of what needs to be done. Not much. Josh Allen is a very good quarterback. He's one of the elites in this league. And he's one of the elites in this league because of the work that he's put in from those days at Wyoming. And so I have every expectation that this Bills team is going to be in the mix next year. I think ultimately, it's like we just said a few minutes ago, the AFC is very good. The conference is very deep. You have a lot of talented teams. You have a lot of quarterbacks that are very good. It's going to be tough in the next couple of years to make a run out of this conference because of the depth of talent in the AFC at large.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterbacks, I mean, they were, it was already stacked after last offseason. Now Lawrence has kind of, I think, arrived, right? Herbert's got a new coordinator. Russell Wilson has a new head coach, and it's Sean Payton, by the way. So, like, maybe some things just – the Raiders will have a different guy, and we'll see who that ends up being, whether that's actually better than Derek Carr or not. But it really – I heard our morning guys today, Mark, talking about the difference between the AFC and the NFC, which was stark already last year with, like, Brady and Rodgers kind of being the kingpins of the conference. And, like, I know Hurts is an MVP finalist, so you've got him. And after that, if with Brady gone – and if Rodgers, who knows, like if he goes to the AFC, let's just say hypothetically, who are your quarterbacks in the NFC? I mean, it's the two guys I just mentioned. And Murray's hurt. Who's going to play in San Francisco? And you're just sort of wandering around looking for top shelf QBs. They're all in the AFC.
Yeah, they are. I mean, imagine a world where Aaron Rodgers follows his predecessor's path to New York and he's suddenly the quarterback of the Jets. I mean, that's a very plausible scenario. And let's not forget, we're getting into mock draft season right now. C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, Houston and Indianapolis, those are the two teams that are most commonly linked to them. Now, rookie quarterbacks don't always pan out, but say one of them does and becomes a quarterback people are excited about. And look at the NFC. I mean, do we start saying, hey, Jared Goff is perhaps one of the better quarterbacks in the NFC? That's an interesting world to live in. So, you know, the arms race at the quarterback position in the National Football League has shifted heavily in the favor of the AFC. Now, there might be some moves. You know, does Lamar Jackson end up in the NFC? Does Garoppolo stay in the NFC? You know, some things like that could happen. But certainly the balance of power has shifted to the AFC, which makes it difficult for teams to compete. I mean, you come out of the AFC and make it to a Super Bowl, well, you've done something pretty good right now.
Are you at all surprised the Chiefs got there this year with, I mean, if you want to go back to Tyreek Hill being traded, you can. But, you know, even through the year, they really deserve a lot of credit. And they get it. But just this is another season where it didn't look like it was coming easy to Kansas City. And yet they get by Jacksonville. That was a competitive game. This game Sunday, I mean, they easily could have lost it. But here they are.
Yeah, I mean, it's one heck of an effort to get out of the AFC like we just talked about. And this wasn't like an easy road for them. I mean, this was a team that, you know, went to overtime against Houston in the regular season. And, you know, that's just one week. But it's another example of, you know, the road that they faced to get in there. And certainly you go back to the summer and Tyreek moving to Miami and the questions about, you know, how are they going to generate offense? How are they going to generate explosive plays? And having Patrick Mahomes certainly helps. Having Travis Kelce certainly helps. You know, two of the best of the position. You know, they're certainly walking into a situation where you might say the Eagles are perhaps some better, more complete team with different ways that they can beat you. But the Chiefs might have an advantage of two positions, tight end and quarterback. And in this game, those might be two pretty big positions to have an advantage at. But, you know, credit to Andy Reid, credit to that coaching staff, Spagnuolo and Bieniemy and everybody aboard. To get this team back to a Super Bowl wasn't an easy run, but they're back, and now they get a shot to win it again, which is an impressive effort.
Mark, what do you think happens with the Ravens? Like, the report is, and this is not a surprise, I would say, that they'll franchise tag Lamar Jackson. Like, does that situation seem repairable?
Certainly, you're not getting the warm and fuzzies about it, are you? I mean, all season long, I've been saying, oh, no, it's going to be fine. Lamar's going to be fine. He knows that they want him there, and they've sort of structured the offense roster-wise, conceptually around what he does. And, you know, the Ravens, since they've done this for Lamar, it's obvious that they, you know, want him back and view him as a big part. Now we're talking franchise tags. It does seem like it's sort of spinning in the wrong direction between quarterback and team. Now, maybe they put the tag on them, and then they stab that window to sort of get a longer-term deal done, and they finally do that. But the warm and fuzzies aren't, you know, coming to the forefront when you think about Lamar and the Ravens right now. And the fact that we're even entertaining the idea that he might end up somewhere else makes us sort of understand that, look, this might be one of those situations where there's smoke, there's fire. Maybe that relationship is a bit more fractured than we really think. And, you know, now they're moving in a different direction, an offensive coordinator. Maybe that will sort of repair things, because there was a lot of talk that maybe the sort of relationship between Lamar and the offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, you know, it wasn't quite working. It sort of reached a plateau and they need a new voice there. Maybe that helps repair things a bit, but it seems a little bit different than it was last year when I was convinced that they were going to find a way to get a long-term deal done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Have we heard anything about him being involved, Jackson being involved in their search for that new coordinator?
Yes.
Because that would be a big clue.
Yes, I think
did say that. I think I've heard some reports. I think there's been some reporter that they want his voice to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Which, is, again, maybe it's a sign that, look, everything's really fine. Maybe that's an olive branch. Maybe it's a little bit of both. But I think the fact that there's at least an idea that he's going to have some input there is a big sign that, okay, maybe it does end up patched up between the parties and they get a long-term deal done. You know, because obviously he's an extremely talented quarterback, and as we just talked about, you need something like that in the AFC right now. So I would think Baltimore would want to get this done, but I've been saying that for now 6 months, so I need to see it.
Mark, you know your Patriots very well. What's ahead for them? Like, is Mac Jones their quarterback week one? I mean, I think yes, but it's not a year where you're just going to necessarily want to see him, you know, to the end. I wonder what their confidence level in him is.
Right. I've used this sort of phrase before. You know, yes, he's their starter quarterback week one. Is he their starter in week 8? Is he their starter in week 12 if healthy? I think that's the bigger question right now, because this is year 3. Bills fans know year 3. It's kind of the make or break year, right? It's the old Bill Walsh. He always would say quarterback third year. That's when you either figure it out or you don't. We've seen quarterbacks not named Josh Allen, others, Jalen Hurts, who's in this year's Super Bowl, have that sort of year 3 leap. Is this the season he puts it together? They've got positions they need to address. Receiver, you know, they got to figure out offensive line. You know, they might have to take a look at the secondary and some other positions. But the biggest question facing them is Mac Jones. Do they finally have stability around him from a coaching standpoint? Bill O'Brien, the hire of Bill O'Brien, there's obviously a bit of a relationship there. They worked a little bit together when O'Brien was hired by Alabama. Mac Jones reportedly taught him the offense. So, you know, it seems like that was the move made to, all right, let's get that relationship between the young quarterback and the offensive coordinator in place. But it's a make or break year for Mac Jones. I think he's the starter of week one. I don't know about weeks 4 and beyond. I mean, I think he needs to show that he can be this team's quarterback. Otherwise, they're going to have to dip into the quarterback market again next offseason.
You weren't trolling Bulldog, by the way, when you mentioned Walsh, right?
No, not at all.
Bulldog's notorious Bill Walsh basher.
No, I was just, you know, slipping that in there. You know.
That's cool.
I'm totally losing where I was. Oh, no, O'Brien. I'm inclined to respect that hire. I know he kind of became a punchline in Houston, the trades. Like, he just got power crazy and just, you know, just went, I think, maybe a little nuts at the end there in Houston. But and there's the, you know, Belichick reaching into the past again. And, you know, so you can, you know, shoot your holes in it if you want. But I feel like O'Brien's a respectable hire there for them.
Yeah, as an offensive coordinator, sure. If they start letting them make roster decisions and, you know, let them call a shot on trades and things like that, like you did with the DeAndre Hopkins trade, then it could sort of spin wildly out of control. And yes, look, as we've seen over the past couple of years, the idea that, you know, Belichick has sort of turned to people that he knows, Patricia and Judge this past offseason, you know, obviously bringing Gerard Mayo back, you know, because he was potentially going to interview the head coaching jobs, but, you know, they're working on a new role for him, maybe an assistant head coach type of title as well. You know, there's always that with Belichick, because he does seem to have sort of Bill Belichick circle of trust. But in terms of an offensive coordinator hire, I do think this makes a lot of sense for New England. There's that familiarity between O'Brien and Mac Jones. There's a history in New England, and he did some very good things as an offensive coordinator. As long as they don't let him, you know, call a shot on trades, I think this could work out.
Very good, Mark. I guess one Tom Brady question is appropriate, and we can end on it. Do you believe him this time?
I do, although I think my days of predicting Tom Brady moves are in the rearview mirror, because I wrote 2 weeks ago that you know, even if he loses to the Cowboys, he's coming back next year. I mean, this isn't how it ends. And then, you know, Brady makes me look a little foolish today. So I'm inclined to believe him here now. In talking to some people around the Buccaneers over the past couple of days, I get the sense that this is where it was headed. You know, I had that sense going into this morning. So the announcement today didn't really surprise me. He struggled to keep weight on this year. It certainly seemed when he was playing that he was shying away from contact more than we had seen in years past. Didn't seem comfortable, didn't want to take hits, which, again, as somebody that's a couple of months older than Tom Brady, I get it. I wouldn't want to get hit. I mean, I understand that. You know, so I do think that could he still play? Yes. I think there was a part of me that thought, oh, Brady's going to look at all the people saying that he's done and say, no, 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 I'm going to prove you wrong again. But really, what does he have left to prove? So I think in an ideal world, it would have ended after Super Bowl 53 or even the Super Bowl down in Tampa Bay the first year he was down there. But he took farther time the distance, and he said he always wanted to play until he was 45. He did that. He's going out not on the best note, but he showed this year that he could still play. And I think this is probably as good a time as he's going to get to hand him up.
I agree. Thank you, Mark. Any questions for us?
How are you guys doing? We're getting into draft season. You guys getting a little excited about draft season? Tiny bit? Sabres look good. How about that?
Yes.
I'll perk up there. The draft is a lot of fun to invest, you know, time and energy into. But I'm sort of where we let off at, which is I'm still sort of, for the first time ever, Mark, watching the AFC Championship game on Sunday, I felt like compelled to turn it off. I was so mad, and I've never felt like that. Like, people say that kind of stuff all the time. Oh, I couldn't even watch it. I was so pissed off about the Bill. I actually was that. I felt that. I stayed with it, but so I'm still digging out a little bit.
Yeah, you'll get there. But hey, Tage looks great. Sabres look good. So there's that, right?
Will the Sabres still be in action by the NFL draft? That'd be like end of the first round. So let's hope.
I think there's a good shot. A good shot for that.
Me too. I agree. Thank you, Mark. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, my friends. Be well. Have a great week.
All right. Mark Schofield, SB Nation.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
On Twitter at Mark Schofield. How about that? He got that. The Bills and the offseason. What do you want? What are you afraid of, if anything, from this offseason just underway here for the Bills? 803-0550. We'll talk some Sabres, too. Sal Capaccio at 5. Paul Hamilton at the top of the pregame show at 6:30. TNT. So later start. Choose Love Night to start Black History Month. The Sabres tonight, February 1st, home to Carolina. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, back after sports here on WGR.
He's been throwing a lifeline with Sean Payton being his head coach. And I'm pretty sure Sean Payton has watched film on Russell Wilson and felt, you know what, I can help this guy and he can help me. So with that being said, there's a lot of work to be done here, especially on the offensive side of the football, because their defense is legit. They are a playoff defense. Their problem was they were very inconsistent offensively, and it started with the quarterback.
Oh, he had me. Herman Edwards, he had me until he used that word, inconsistent. No team was more consistent on offense this year than Denver. They are the opposite of inconsistent. They were always terrible. Like it was, they were what? 3-9, and it was, oh, if they'd only scored 20 points a game, they'd be 12-0 or something. Like, that was pretty damn consistent. But
yeah,
you
had a couple of good halves, I think.
Okay.
That's about it. That's
okay.
The best you can do.
Yeah. They were not inconsistent. They were awful.
Yeah.
That's what you mean. They were awful. Say it. Come on, just say it. They don't want to try so hard to be nice. I guess it's a good trait. I don't know. It's how you keep your job, right?
At that level, yeah.
If Herman Edwards just went off on, like, you got to be kidding me with Russell Wilson. Did you see their games? Like, just, it's so over. That would be incredible. Let's go to Ian here. Hi, Ian. No, he just dropped off. Like, that was the shortest call we've ever taken. 10,000 shows.
It was bound to happen.
The new record for shortest call.
I don't think I would want to put my name on Russell Wilson is terrible. He was terrible last year. But I think that there's a chance, maybe even a decent chance, that Peyton can really help him and they can really make something work there. I'm sort of circling back to Herman Edwards.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how much harder I would want to go, even on this platform, let alone that one. At Wilson. I mean, he was bad. There's no question about it. But he's got a very good new coach, and we'll see. I might sooner put my name on Aaron Rodgers as finished than I would Russell Wilson.
Ooh, exciting!
Like Rodgers, did you watch him play this year? Like, he was not good, man. Like there were a lot of balls at guys' feet and. Like, I know the receivers and you got to get him more help and all this sort of stuff, but I don't know. I've thought this, like I've said this about him before and it was too early to say it, but I think you know what I'm about to say. Like Brady, the guy who just retired today at age 45 has sort of skewed, I think, what's a realistic expectation for how good these guys should be to what age. And it's possible Rodgers is more like a normal guy than he is Brady. And maybe he's done.
Maybe he is.
He hasn't. He threw for the fewest yards of his career in a full year. He had a couple of years where he played like 6 games or 9 games, 2 different times. And, of course, that held down the numbers. But even with 17 games this year, worst yardage and only 26 touchdowns. I know, only 26 touchdowns. He only had 26 one other full season and 25 another full season. Other than that, it's always been, it's been like kind of eye-popping numbers. I don't know. I think if somebody makes a move for him, if he wants to keep going, they might be getting Russell Wilson, like at least from last year.
I agree with all this.
So I'm intrigued by, like, go ahead, Jets. Go ahead. And I know, all right? Cold takes exposed or whatever it's called. Maybe he'll be great again. They've got a lot of talent there, and, it's New York, and great. I think he might be shot.
He looked shot
a lot this year to me.
Okay.
That must-win game at the end of the year against Detroit? Like, I know Detroit was a cool story and a fun story, but it's mostly because their offense was crazy good. You should be able to score on that team, and he just kept throwing it to that one safety.
I missed that game for some reason.
No, I can't tell you why. How would I know? All I know is he looked bad.
Herman Edwards will never have to worry about cold takes exposed this way. Just,
Mm-hmm.
You're putting yourself out there. That's why that account is so bad. I just, like... What are we all supposed to do? Say nothing and just not exist? Would that be better?
Sure.
Like, people are in the business of having opinions and they shouldn't have them, or else they deserve to be embarrassed for them. I mean, that's how it's supposed to, that's the premise. Yeah, cool. Really cool. Original. Here's Ian is going to try it again. So, Ian, you're already in the books for the shortest call ever. This will go better, I'm sure.
Yes. Sorry, I live like in the middle of the boondocks out by Varysburg. Phone calls go in and out all the time.
Okay.
My call was only really about like the offseason and the hopes. Like, since the divisional round has ended, yeah, all we've heard is everyone's thoughts on either whether coaching staff or player, you know, deficiencies, whatever it was. And my hope is that we make the moves on defense to understand that our defense is secondary to our offense, because for the most part, the games when we need to win, it's our offense we're relying on. Our defense has let us down in big games more than they have came through for us. So I'd like to see Tremaine go, unfortunately, but I'd like to see us invest more into our secondary receivers, because Josh, he can't carry this team. And I'll hang up, listen to see what you think or your thoughts are on that. Thanks.
Okay.
I'm 100% here for it. I mean, I'd like to keep as many pieces on that defense together as I can, but I'm not interested in paying Tremaine Edmonds $15 million a year. I don't know that I'd be interested in paying almost any linebacker that doesn't sack the quarterback 15 times a season $15 million a year. So whatever they got to do to get another piece that matters on that offense, or maybe even two, that's where I think they need to be at as far as like resources and getting it together. And it you know, it's easy to say now, it's kind of a shame they didn't do it sooner, because they kind of just got by with pretty much like average guys aside from Diggs.
I agree with that too. Thanks, Ian. Here's Mike next. Hi, Mike.
Hey guys. You mentioned earlier what your fear was of the year, and my fear is that we're going to get another regression from Leslie Frazier. You know, people blamed him last year for the 13 seconds. They ended up firing the special teams coach because he did a squib kick. But people forget that at halftime of the Kansas City game this year, there's 12 seconds left, and they got the ball on their 28-yard line, and they still got a field goal. So the guy just doesn't learn. I mean, I look at how many times this year McDermott called timeout on defense. I think more than any coach I've ever seen calling timeout on defense. And was it because the defensive scheme wasn't what it was supposed to be? I don't know, but I'm so worried. I'm worried that McDermott and Frazier are going to continue to try to keep a guy like Edmonds. I mean, I'm not sure why they would want to extend and do the fifth year on Ed Oliver, for God's sakes. I mean, $8.5 million for what he produced the second half of the year just makes no sense to me. We need to build on the offense. We need somebody new on this defense as a coordinator to figure out how to handle 12 and 13 seconds when the team's on its own 25 or 28-yard line. Makes no sense.
Thanks, Mike.
I'm with you on the Frazier point. Like I've said, for all the worrying that you get about the play calling on offense, I much would prefer they make a change at defensive coordinator than offensive coordinator. I think Dorsey can sort of I know it's parroting what Bean said, but he was new at it, and maybe he'll get better at it, and you get another couple pieces and learn from the mistakes maybe that you made, if you acknowledge that you made mistakes, and grow from it. To me, Frazier and McDermott, like, this is who they are, and I want a fresh set of eyes over there. They probably will not have the talent that they've enjoyed on that side of the ball. And they may have to get more creative because of it. And they may not rank as highly as they've ranked for almost every year that they've been together. But I think a new set of eyes and some new ideas on that side of the ball are warranted, because the personnel is probably going to change, and maybe dramatically. If you're taking Edmonds and Poyer out of that lineup, like, those are two big kingpin pieces on that defense. And I'm a little worried about what these coaches, as presently constituted, will do without those guys and still maybe try to play the same way. So I'm ready for something new there. I don't know when I stop wishing for that, because nothing has happened yet. And I don't know when it will, if it's, you know, when it should, if it's going to.
Yeah, what are they waiting for?
Yeah.
And they probably won't announce that they won't be making changes. You'll get a list eventually of the coaching changes that they'll make. It's a big staff, assistant, you know, whatever coach. There could be changes like that. Guys get promotions or get new opportunities. Last year, what happened was Farwell left on his own. The caller Mike said they fired him. That's how I'd say it too. They didn't announce that. They just let him go. They told him probably that he wasn't going to be back. He went and got a job in Jacksonville. What the Bills did announce eventually was his replacement in special teams. And then they later on in like mid-February issued another statement with a list of 6 or 10 other changes. So maybe we'll see that again. The Sabres home to Carolina tonight on TNT. Going?
Me, no.
Me? Yeah, me? Me, a no. Sabres game?
No. Listen, January was pretty busy. I think I was in there for 3 games pretty recently. So, yeah, Minnesota game, Anaheim game, and I'm missing, Winnipeg in between those two.
Winnipeg.
So I had a busy month, and so, yeah, I'm not heading down there tonight. What about you?
No.
Okay. How come?
No tickets? So you've been to 3 games, and they were all against Western teams.
Correct.
And I've been to 2, and they were both against Western teams. Vegas. There's no loss in NHL Vegas. And they could use that, by the way. That could be like their slogan. There's no loss here. Mm-hmm. Only wins.
Mm-hmm.
Only Vegas. And Seattle. Those are the 2 games I went to.
Yeah.
And the Sabres lost both of those games, actually. They got to stop going.
Yeah. I'm 2-1. They won the Minnesota game in overtime, lost to the Jets in regulation, and then beat Anaheim.
Yes, that Minnesota game was maybe the game of the year.
It was an unforgettable night being in the building. It really, really, really was.
I wrote down an awful would you take. Not awful. Like one where you could want to hit me. You want it? Later.
Hang on. Say, what time is it? I can get there by 10 after 5.
I'll push it back. Because after tonight, I'm leaving, man. That's it. I'll make sure it's right before we leave. Sabres in Carolina, Wednesday night hockey downtown. Pregame at 6:30. Paul Hamilton will join us then. Sal Capaccio coming up before that, just after 5, with us. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Welcome back, everybody. Cold but sunny today. Thanks for listening. The Sabres play tonight, home to Carolina. Just check the odds. You know, due to a lengthy period of inactivity, I was logged out of my account and need to log back in. After I did that, I was able to determine that the Sabres are +120 tonight at home against the favored Hurricanes, but they're not a huge favorite, and they win all the time. And they played last night. This is also Senior Bowl week, if you're into that.
Yep.
You're into that, aren't you? The Senior
Sure.
Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
No doubt.
I follow enough people who are down there covering it that I get opinions and video attached to opinions and just plain video with no opinions, and I watch all of it.
Wow.
I mean, whatever crosses my feet, I look at it. I mean, not so much during the show, but prior to and afterward when I'm scrolling, I'll be looking. In fact, and I never got around to this, I saw a few clips today of a lineman named Cody Mock.
Oh, yeah.
And what I meant to do was to search to find out if he is related.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
To former Bills offensive line coach Carl Mock.
Oh.
Because he might just be a chip off the old block.
He might be a chip off the old Mock.
Off the old Mock, yep.
Yeah, this guy, like, he put on 87 pounds by eating Strombolis. That's the guy?
I don't know that story.
I think that's the guy. I don't follow the Senior Bowl as closely as you do, but I think that's the guy. Like North Dakota or someplace?
Yeah, North Dakota State. Yeah,
North Dakota State.
Offensive lineman. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Last night I had my weekly fantasy football podcast with a guy you know well and admire, Adam Krautwurst.
Oh, yeah.
Called The Deep End. And he wanted to talk rookies. I'm like, sure. You know, we just have sort of a, like, you and I don't even really do this anymore, but sort of a quick text exchange in the day. Like, what? Let's do this, this, and this. So, like, okay, yeah, rookies, of course. And then we came to that part of the podcast, and it hit me. I don't know anything. Like, I know who Bijan Robinson is and Smith and Jigba, but I'm, like, not up to speed on the incoming skill position guys in the NFL. So I did a little bit of that today, and the number one wide receiver, perhaps at least, is Jordan Addison, who played at USC last year with Caleb Williams, but he was Kenny Pickett's guy at Pitt, and then transferred. Now everybody can transfer, so he just went to USC for his, was that have been his senior year or even his junior year? I don't know. But
this was his senior year.
It was? Thank you, Zach. I know I can count on Zach when it comes to college football. So Jordan Addison might be wide receiver one, maybe middle of the first round of the NFL draft. And Smith and Jigba, so massive year in 21, but hurt early, I think the Notre Dame game this year, and then just like didn't really produce at all for Ohio State. But in the range where the Bills pick and like right into the slot. And I think that's a very sexy idea because we want receivers and they might be like right in the right range for him. Who knows? Somebody, you could end up going top 10 or something, but he didn't produce as a senior with the injury, just sort of a difficult year. If it was, again, I don't want to assume senior, but 2022. And so I could be talking to him. Jackson, Smith, and Jigba, Ohio State.
Okay. Yep. I've seen him play. I'd be a fan of that idea.
So many receivers the last three, 4 years, Ohio State.
Yeah. It does not appear that this Mock fella is related to Carl Mock. He's got a cousin who played on the North Dakota State men's basketball team. He's got an uncle who was a javelin thrower for North Dakota State. But his parents are Joe and Stacy. Neither of those appear to be Carl.
No. Do you have a cousin or an uncle who was famous? Even if it means just throwing the javelin in college?
I don't know. I don't think I have any of that.
Do you have anyone in your family as notorious as somebody who threw the javelin in college?
I got a cousin who played golf with OJ once.
Yes, I've met him. Kenny. Yes.
Yeah, that might be the best.
I have to think about this. Do I have anybody like that at all? I'm related to Daniel Boone. I know that. It goes back a little bit. Let me think. Since my question, I better come up with an answer here. Sal Capaccio after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog. Sabres pregame 6:30 tonight here on WGR.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.